ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
The Damodar Lila, continuing explaining. Literally, Damodar means who is tied up at his stomach. Although, as we know, the Damodar Lila, there's more to it than being tied. There's a lot more. It begins with Krishna's naughtiness in making a big rumpus when his mother went away. And then his mother attempting to tie him, Mother Yashoda attempting to tie him, being unsuccessful. Krishna simultaneously showing himself just like a little child, and at the same time showing that he's the Supreme Lord. He's just a little boy, he's a naughty boy, so his mother wants to tie him up. But then she finds she can't tie him up. Then eventually, he allows her to tie him up to a big, heavy mortar. Why did she tie him to a mortar? She could have tied him to a little stick. The point is that he's supposed to be bandhit. Tied up means bandhi, means prisoner. He can't move away. That's the whole idea why he was tied to a big, heavy mortar. Here it's described as a big mortar, a small one for grinding. You find that it's a very big one. When you have a big household, there are many people to feed, so you have a big mortar. So Krishna was tied, little boy was tied to the mortar. Now, Mother Yashoda, why should she think that that will hold him? Because he's already shown so many pastimes of killing Putana and so many big demons. So why should she think that anything can hold Krishna? She's just seen that she brought all the ropes in the house and they were still too short. And then again, Krishna allowed himself to be tied up by her. So we can see that this is Krishna's yogamaya potency is working, that even though he's showing his extraordinary prowess, still the Rajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't see that. They're in maya. Yoga maya. Pasha napi na pashyati. It's stated about the materialistic people that they see but they don't see. They see all the time people are dying, left, right and center. Hani hani bhutani gachanti hayamalayam. Sheshas tavara icchanti kimas charya mataparam. What is more wonderful than this? That every day we see so many people are going to Yamaraj's house. They're going to his place. And it's not for a wedding invitation or any such. It's not for a social function. It's to get yamayatana, to be punished with the severe pain that Yamaraj's associates, the Yamadutas, they inflict upon the sinful people. So every day people are going to the house of Yamaraj. But those who haven't gone yet, they're thinking, it's very nice, I'd like to stay here. So, pasha napi na pashyati. They don't see. What they see, but they don't see. They don't understand, I'm next. I'm the next in line. So that's maya. Now the Vrajavasis, they're also in maya. Means they see, but they don't see. They see Krishna is exhibiting such extraordinary opulences that he can kill some big demons like Aghasura, Putana, which even the demigods are afraid of. But still they think, Krishna is my little boy. I have to punish him for being a bad boy. And I have to... Why Mother Yashoda was running away to see the milk? Because she personally, even though she had so many... She's Vrajeshwari. She's the controller of Vrindavan, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Sometimes we say Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, or sometimes we say Yashoda Vrajeshwari. They're both in different ways. They're both queens of Vrindavan. So, even though she had so many servants and maidservants and cows and calves, but she would personally see that the best cows, they would get fed the best grass, and she would get that milk and she would personally boil it and make butter with the idea that how to stop Krishna stealing butter from other people's houses. It's a great shame that here she is, the respectable queen of Vrindavan, And her little son is just a bad boy. He's very badly behaved. So of course, the other residents of Vrindavan, although they complain to Mother Yashoda, actually they're very happy. They want Krishna will come and take our butter. But Mother Yashoda is thinking that, well, you know, it makes it look like I'm not feeding him, or I'm not looking after him properly, or maybe I'm not looking at, what should I do? So she's getting the, anyway she likes to feed the best milk and butter and everything to Krishna. So having gathered the best milk, then you have to boil it. Of course, if you're boiling milk, then you have to watch it. It's a little difficult to watch a naughty little boy and a pot of milk at the same time. So to solve the problem, she tied Krishna up. She wanted to tie Krishna up to stop him from causing any more problem. Not thinking that, well, if he can kill such big demons, then what is, how is you tying to a big stone? It's not going to hold him. So anyway, Krishna can just break the rope. He's tied up. He can break it as he likes. And he can pick up the mortar and throw it up to Indraloka if he wants. He can dissolve the mortar into ashes, into powder. He can do whatever he likes. But playing as a little boy, showing some extraordinary strength, he drags it. Now if it was a little smaller, you could imagine dragging it, but a very big mortar like that, is a tiny little baby. But he's showing just necessary strength to move it. Otherwise, like I say, he can pick it up and throw it to the other side of the universe. With his little toenail, he can flick it up to Indraloka. He can do whatever he likes. But he just wants to show, I'm a little boy, a little bit stronger than you thought. You see, I'm dragging this mortar. You didn't know I was so strong. Your milk is quite good. It's making me stealing all this butter and milk. I'm getting very strong. You see, now I can drag this big mortar. So that's another part, how he's dragging the mortar. And then exactly where he drags it, between those two trees, at the edge of the courtyard, there are two big trees. There must have so many trees. It's Vrindavan. So Vrindavan means, of course, that's Nandavan. That's Gokul. Krishna is there. So generally it's a forest situation. Generally most of the earth is covered in forest. Only in the modern age they're cutting down all the trees. Otherwise generally most of the earth is covered with forest. And the cow herding people, they'll make some settlement in the forest. And then take the cows in the forest. That's very nice for the cows. They like that also, because there's nice shade and so many different varieties of grass. And they'll eat the different varieties and then they'll get proper nourishment like that. So the cowherd people, they're in the forest, so they made some clearing for some buildings and home. So there's some courtyard is there. And at the edge of the courtyard are two very big trees, very old trees. They've been there for a long time. Very exceptional trees. There are so many trees in the forest. Say Vrindavan, that means the forest of Tulsi. But there are so many trees there, not only Vrindavan. But these two trees, they're very exceptionally old and very tall and very high. So Krishna decides to, just happens to wander off in that direction. Little boy, he's just wandering off, pulling the mortar. He wants to show that, my dear mother, you think that you've controlled me. You have not controlled me. You think you've tied me up, but I'm not a prisoner. I'm going away. I'm not under your control. So he's going off somewhere. Mother Yashoda, she's back with the milk, and stirring it so it doesn't burn, looking after the milk, and thinking, that's one problem. So Krishna is now under control. But you can never trust Krishna. But you never know what he's going to do next. So he's wandering off. He agreed to be tied up by his mother, but he's defiant as ever. He's, all right, you want to tie me up? Okay, tie me up. But don't think that I'm under your control. So he's dragging the mortar, pulling, he can go anywhere, but he's heading for these two trees. And then, get stuck in between. There's a space, the child can enter, but the mortar is bigger and wider, so it gets stuck. But Krishna is not discouraged, he keeps on moving. Now, if you consider, Krishna is tied to the mortar, and he's still pulling. Now you would think he can't, he's stuck, the rope is very strong, the mortar is very strong, the trees are very strong. You would think he'd get stuck. Or, if Krishna is so strong, you would think that the rope would break. Not that the trees will fall down, the rope should break. But that's, anyway, Krishna has his pastime. He's passing his time. So, big sound. Mother Yashoda is stirring the milk, thinking now, no sound from Krishna, he's not crying, she's always thinking of Krishna. Everything's nice, everything's good. And all of a sudden, a big crash. The whole earth is shaking. Maybe some of the milk also from the earth shaking is going over the edge. Thinking, what happened next? Now we have Putana and Agasura, then we have the whirlwind, and what's this now? It's an earthquake. What's going on? In the meantime, the two trees have taken forms of two demigods, and they're praying to Krishna. Krishna, okay, all right. Narad Muni's blessing. Lucky for you. Otherwise, Krishna, he's not particularly concerned with demigods. All right, now they're reformed. That's Narad Muni's mercy. All right, you can go back to the heavenly planets. Don't play around like a fool anymore. Meantime, the residents of Vrindavan are running. What's going on? Big crashing sound in the courtyard of Nandamar. What's going on? We see the trees have fallen down and Krishna is standing tied to the mortar. What happened? We see Krishna is tied to the mortar and then the trees fell down. He was very lucky. Krishna, all the time, we're very lucky. You see that time he was carried, the whirlwind came, he was carried up in the sky and we don't know what happened. There was a dust storm and then luckily, this demon whirlwind just fell down dead and Krishna was alive. He was very lucky. He didn't think Krishna killed him. But somehow he went in the sky and then somehow he had a heart attack or something. And then he fell down dead and luckily Krishna was saved. And there was Putana and Krishna was sucking her breast and then all of a sudden she also had a heart attack and then she died. And somehow lucky Krishna was... Mother Yashoda is always thinking that I've been worshipping Narayan since my childhood, so now, by his blessing, my little boy is being protected from all these dangers. So all the residents of Vrindavan, they're coming, running. What happened? Oh, you see, Mother Yashoda's tied her boy up to the mortar. Why are you doing that? What are you doing? How can you do that? Tying up your little boy. How are you so cruel? So she was thinking that it was very shameful for me. All my friends are telling that your son is coming and stealing the butter and there's no good butter in your home. What's wrong? You're not feeding him. So she's making so much endeavor to get the milk nicely and boil it. And in the meantime, they're coming and blaming, you see. You left him alone without any supervision. You don't know what kind of dangers there may be. You see, the trees fell down. Very lucky. They just fell down. You see, Krishna's here, and one tree fell like this, and another tree fell like that. Either one, if they fell a little bit the other side, then Krishna would have been killed. You see, you're not looking after him. As usual, the little children, they tell another story. No, the trees didn't fall down, but Krishna pulled them there by pulling them out. But they don't believe. No. How is it possible? A little child. How is it possible? Big trees. I mean, even the big strong men, if they want to cut the tree down, big tree, like, it'll take them all day to cut down a tree. And you're saying, little child, trees just fell down. Luckily, Krishna was saved. And children are telling, no, no, Krishna pulled it down, and then these two godly figures came. You're going to cut fruit? These two people came just like demigods. There's some children's stories. Children, they tell so many stories. Naturally, children, they tell so. Some demigods came and they were making prayers to Krishna. They didn't take it very soon. They never, always the children, they're telling. You see, this cart fell down on top of Krishna. Luckily, Krishna was saved. No, no, it didn't fall down. Krishna kicked it. Then it collapsed. No, no, no. Little boy, how can he like this? So always the children are seeing and telling. The children, they know, they're very confident. Krishna will always protect us. That's why they all walked into the Aghasura's mouth. They're thinking, well, whatever we do, Krishna will protect us. So they simply walk. So these are the pastimes of Krishna. This Damodar Leela. That's the unlimited pastimes of Krishna. Some of them are very famous, very prominent, especially this Damodar Leela is one of them. Krishna lifting Giriraj is another very famous Leela. Very famous Leela. Ras Leela. These are all famous pastimes of Krishna. His Vrindavan pastimes, these are very famous pastimes. There are so many. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna is killing so many demons. Somehow these stories are not so popular. But as Prabhupada noted, that there, if you see, there's more stories told of Krishna killing demons than dancing with gopis or any such thing. More stories like that. So these are all very popular pastimes, especially those devotees who they like to worship Krishna in the Bal Leela, Bal Gopal. There are so many names like that. Bal Mukund, Bal Krishna. These are all popular names of Krishna. Nowadays, they don't like to give such names. Previously, these were very, very common names. You'll find every street corner some Bal Krishna, Bal Mukund, or like this Bal Gopal, Bal Govind. They like to worship Krishna as the young boy. So especially those devotees who are meditating on Krishna's childhood pastimes, to them this is the most dear pastime. Now Krishna, he's playing his naughty boy, showing his transcendental opulences, and then again just standing. After pulling down the Arjuna trees and the demigods are praying to him, and then they go back. And then again standing like a little boy. And his mother has to come and untie him, as if he's incapable. So these are the pastimes of Krishna. Simultaneously showing his transcendental opulence and of majesty and power. And at the same time showing his, it's also an opulence of his sweet dealings with his devotees. So this actually of the two things, the opulence and the sweetness. The devotees of Krishna, they're more interested in what is the sweetness of Krishna. This is the special feature of Krishna. There are so many different incarnations of Krishna. But especially Krishna is very sweet. He can show the other side also, just like killing Putana. Even then he's very sweet because Putana is very nasty. The incarnation of nastiness. But still, Krishna is awarding the position of mother very kindly. So who can be more merciful than Krishna? But even though she's coming with a nasty intention, she's killing so many babies. And she thought, when she saw Krishna, this one looks, see, the well-fed boy, chubby little boy, very juicy, she was thinking. Well, but she didn't know that Krishna is going to be the cause of her death, that not that she will be the cause of Krishna's death. But in her consciousness, not even in this life, in a previous life, she thought at one point when she saw Vamandev, she was the sister of Bali Maharaj, when she first saw Vamandev, she saw a very nice boy. Who is that fortunate mother who is able to suckle him, feed her the breast milk. So she had some motherly thing. But then afterwards, when she saw Vamandev taking away everything from Bali Maharaj, then her normal demoniac way of thinking came back again. But something was there at some point, some motherly thing. Even she didn't know this is Krishna, this is the Supreme Lord. And when she saw this is the Supreme Lord, Vamandev, then because the Vishnu Bhakta Bhagat Daiva, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva, Asuras Tad Viparyayaha. The nature of the devotee is always to love Krishna. And the nature of the demon is just the opposite. They're always against Krishna. They hate. They have feeling of very bad feeling towards Krishna. So that feeling came out. As soon as she knew this is Vishnu, then immediately she all bad feelings came out. But previously to that, she had some very nice feeling. What a beautiful, nice boy. I'd like to be the mother. Like she thought. So Krishna remembered that. You like to be my mother? So Krishna destroyed all her sinful life by... He sucked her breast, he sucked her life air, and he sucked away all her sinful reactions. And then what was left? A little bit of bhakti. She liked to be the mother, and then she got the position of mother. So all the pastimes of Krishna, it's not that the, even killing the demons, it's not that it's not sweet. It's all, even all the incarnations, it's not that only Krishna Lila is very sweet. All the incarnations, they're all, everything they do is very sweet. And otherwise, why are the devotees worshipping? It's, when we say worshipping with awe and reverence, it's not only awe and reverence. All the devotees, bhakti means there has to be appreciation, loving feelings. So that Aishwarya Yukta Bhakti, that Aishwarya Gyan Yukta Bhakti, that worshipping Krishna in devotion with knowledge of his opulences, that means there's some maybe little distant feeling or awe and reverence, but it's not that it's not simply, it's not like in an army where you have to follow the order of, you hate the sergeant. But you have to do what he says, otherwise he gets you cutting potatoes for 3 days, or something like that. But sometimes in Vietnam, there's so many stories, the Vietnam War, where some sergeant would be shot dead in the battle, but then find he was shot from behind, not from the front, but shot by his own subordinates. Because did they do that in the Afghanistan War? Did you get any reports like that? They hated the officers so much that their own people shot them. So it's not like that in Krishna Lila. They love Krishna. The devotees, they love Krishna. It's very clear. That verse, I was just quoting that verse. Nobhuto sarge loke svin daiva asura evacha. In this world, there are devotees and there are demons. So Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asura sthandipariyaha. Those who are bhaktas, those who have devotion for Vishnu, those they are known as devotees, and the opposite is demons. So, if you have devotion, then you're a devotee, and if you don't, you're a demon. That's all. There are two kinds of people. But sometimes a demon, he may have some. That's not even bhakti, that's bhaktya abhas, a semblance of bhakti. This Ratnamala, this Bali Maharaj's sister, her name, previous name, Ratna Bali. So she had some feeling, even she didn't know it was Krishna, but that was to her eternal benefit, that feeling she had. So all the pastime, all the devotees, every devotees of Vamandev, devotees of Ram is Maryada Purushota, worshipped. Jai Shiva, great awe and reverence. But that's also very sweet, pastimes of Ram. Generally people think the pastimes of Ram, very sad. Everything's very sad. Everything's very nice, and he's kicked out, go to the forest, and then the whole of Ayodhya, just everyone is lamenting, trying to bring him back. No, I have to follow the order of my father. Krishna, he doesn't follow the order. He doesn't follow anyone's orders. In Ram Leela, Ram is very well behaved. Krishalila, not at all. Same person, in different mood. So, Ram is very proper, everything he does. It's very sad. He's simply lamenting for so many years and finally gets Sita, then again rejects her. But it's apparently sad, but actually it's all transcendental bliss. And the devotees, they take great pleasure in repeating the pastimes of Lord Ram, in experiencing transcendental bliss. So all the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in His different incarnations, they're simply full of bliss. Uttama shloka charitam sarva loka sukhavaham, simply discussing the pastimes of Krishna, who is described in the best verses. They give happiness to all the worlds, at least those who are willing to listen. Sarva loka sukhavaham gives happiness to everyone. Everyone means gives happiness to everyone who is willing to take pleasure in that. Of course, there are those who don't take pleasure. Who will not take pleasure in the pastimes of Krishna? Who knows? What's the answer to this question? Famous verse, quoted in the, I believe, the preface to Krishna book. Who will not take pleasure? Parikshit Maharaj, he's at the beginning of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, he stated, who will not take pleasure in the pastimes of Krishna? Does anyone know? You know that verse? Nivritta, can you say the Sanskrit? Nivritta Tashaya? Manobhirama. The pastimes of Krishna are very pleasing to the mind. Then? Ya uttama shloka. Vinapashugnat. Who will not take pleasure in the pastimes of Krishna, which are very pleasing to the mind and are like a medicine for destroying the disease of repeated birth and death? So who will not take pleasure in describing the gunanavada, to glorify the transcendental qualities of Krishna? Anuvada means you hear from others, you have to hear from devotees, and then you praise. Prabhupada, he gives the translation, hearing in the parampara system. That's how Prabhupada translates it, anuvada. So, vina, who will not take pleasure? Pashugnat, one who is a killer of animals. So there are two ways this can be understood, this word. Pashugnat means, one is a butcher, one who is a meat eater. Another is a mayavadi, who wants to kill himself, wants to terminate his spiritual existence. So the pastimes of Krishna, they will give pleasure to everybody except those who are grossly sinful meat eaters and those who are hardcore mayavadis, those who want to kill themselves. Actually, even the pastimes of Krishna, even the mayavadis, they can take some pleasure. I've seen once, I was at Badrinath, and the priests there, they're all Nambudris. You know Nambudris? That means they're Brahmins from Kerala. Because Shankaracharya re-established the worship of Badrinath, which was out of, it had been stopped. So he brought people from his place, Kerala. So they're all Keralite Brahmins up there. So they're Shankara Sampradaya. So they're complete Mayavadis. You don't want to discuss with them. Things that Mayavadis, everything they say is different. I saw when I was up there, I was speaking with one man, and he was, you know, I said, look, it's just better let's not discuss, because everything you say is simply causing pain to the heart. And everything Mayavadi says is just simply painful. I said, better just, let's just read Shastra. So he pulled out the Bhagavatam and started reciting the Gopi Gita in Sanskrit. So he was taking pleasure. It's very beautiful, very pleasurable to hear the songs of the gopis. He was taking some pleasure, but what perverted way he was taking, what funny ideas they had. By bhakti you come to the level of bhakti is for the, anyway, I don't want to say this, just very horrible ideas the Mayavadis have. But still, even they take some
some perverted kind of, the very nature of Krishna's pastimes is that the rasa mind, they're full of nectar. The pastimes of Krishna are full of nectar. So even Mayavadi, even though it's some perverted, they may take some perverted kind of pleasure in that. But that may even help them. If eventually they come in contact with a devotee, a real devotee, then if they're prepared to hear from a devotee, then they may become cleared from the contamination of Mayavada. Otherwise, this word is very important. Gunanavada. One should hear the qualities of Krishna explained in the parampara system. Otherwise, definitely misunderstanding will be there. Unless we accept Krishna, hearing about Krishna in the parampara system, then we have to hear from the upper parampara or the upper siddhantic parampara, those who've got the wrong idea. And if you don't understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you have to explain him as an ordinary person, or maybe extraordinary means he was a great philosopher or a great yogi, but not the Supreme Lord. And then you have to interpret. Either you interpret that Krishna was doing like this because of that, because they have so many rasa. They'll say Krishna is under the laws of nature. The Jains, they believe in existence of Krishna, but you know what the Jains say? We don't like to repeat. What horrible things they say about. Actually, it's very difficult to discuss even the Mayavadi, but we don't even like to say before Krishna all these things, what they say, what the Mayavadis say, what the Jains say. Why Krishna, he was shot dead by this hunter because in his previous life, Ram, he killed Vali, and this. They think he's a person under the laws of karma. They say Krishna was a great philosopher, but he also made some mistakes. And this way of hearing, then you hear the pastimes of Krishna, and by hearing it, you become offensive. Instead of becoming purified, you become offensive. And instead of becoming closer to Krishna, you go further away from Krishna. That's called blasphemy. We have this in English, blasphemy. In Sanskrit, the word is ninda. So what does that mean? What does blasphemy mean? Actually, blasphemy, there's only a question of blasphemy if you have faith. You see, for an atheistic person to say all bad things about Krishna, then it's just we're being objective. So from their point of view, you have to judge everything. There's nothing sacred, there's nothing spiritual, nothing. Everyone is equal to everyone else, everyone has equal rights. So if we examine objectively, you see, instead of all this sentiment and just examine objectively, then Krishna was a thief, Krishna was a liar, Krishna was a debauchee. It's true. It's true. But he's a transcendental thief, transcendental liar, transcendental debauchee. But if you don't have faith in anything transcendental, then you'll simply see liar, thief, debauchee, cheater. So he's a very bad person. He had his good moments. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Quite good. But you know, his personal life, forget it. You know, they think that, alright, I'll also speak Bhagavad Gita, and then my personal life, I'll also do so many bad things. So they cannot understand Krishna. And they become blasphemers. Blasphemer means when you want to discuss about Krishna or his pure devotee, but not accept their transcendental position. That's why, what is that? Shadha shabde vishvas kai sudrija nischoy je Krishna bhakti kaile sarva kama krita hai. Faith means, transcendental faith means to have trust, to have faith that there is something parastasmatu bhava no vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. Beyond this material existence of creation, destruction, recreation, there is the eternal principle. There is the spiritual principle. If you don't have faith in that, if you don't have faith in something sublime, then you become a blasphemer. That's why you see people, they want to discuss about Prabhupada and say so many things that, well, you know, he contradicted himself and he was very heavy and he was very nasty against women. He said that women are less intelligent than men, and you see, he's a very bad person. There's so many things people are saying, rascals. Because they don't have faith in guru, sadhu, and shastra, then you become a blasphemer. You see, Prabhupada was saying that argumentum ad bachelam, you see this kind of thing, this causes wars when spiritual leaders say like this. Rascal nonsense. It doesn't cause wars. This the Prabhupada was discussing. Someone was coming to him and saying that, you see, we have to make some peace talks and try to stop war. And Prabhupada said, wars are not caused by, wars are not stopped by your peace. Wars are caused because you're eating meat. This is the cause of, this is the cause of war. All these things, they're so concerned. Oh, there'll be a war. What will happen? Y2K. Now it's time for the whole world to collapse. Yet again. You know, for the throughout the 90s we were hearing that in 91 we heard it was in 92, and in 92 we heard it was 93, there's going to be big war and worldwide destruction. Now and then it was supposed to be, I think in July of last year it was supposed to be, all the Japanese were...
New York City.
What were they doing?
New York City will collapse.
New York City will collapse, Los Angeles will collapse, everything will... In Y2K at midnight, just over one day ago, everything was supposed to collapse. But actually it's going on, the fools, they don't see. That there's, do you know, throughout the 90s there's been devastation. Millions of people have died. Every year. How many people die? 30, 40 million people. Devastation is going on, you see. How they died. It wasn't that there were worldwide meteorites. What is it? Storms, and the earth is supposed to crack in two. Or, no, it's just, you know, someone died of heart attack and someone else died because they were 97 years old, and you're not exactly sure why he died, but it's not surprising when 97-year-old people die. Someone else died because they ran in front of a truck, and according to the laws of physics and biology, when a living being is hit by a 10-ton truck, which is going at 50 miles an hour, then in 9,999 cases out of 1,000, they die. So it's all very scientific, you see. So devastation is going on. People are dying left, right, and center. People, they don't see. Same thing. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, hayamalya. So many people are going to the asadyama. They don't see. They don't understand. So they're thinking that, you know, it's very bad if there's a war. War means you may die from some bomb being dropped on your head. Well, anyway, you're going to die. You can die of heart attack, high blood pressure, cancer, old age. You know, we don't have any doctors here. How many diseases are there? There must be thousands of diseases you can die from. You can also die from slipping on a banana skin and breaking your neck. And so there's so many people concerned that, you know, we should go to New Zealand, because no one's going to waste their atom bombs on New Zealand, and it's a long way away, and it's a very peaceful country. But this one devotee was telling me, he was planning on migrating to New Zealand to get away from the devastation that will happen, and Y2K. But you know, New Zealand, what's the main business? Who knows? Killing sheep. And number two business, killing cows. It's a land of, it's a very peaceful land. If you go there, there's lots of nice green, and rivers, very beautiful country, and people are very calm and quiet, and they're all not, shouldn't say that, but a bunch of mental cases. But externally they're very peaceful, very nice. But the business is killing cows and sheep. So you think that they're gonna simply go on very peacefully, and they're gonna get their karma. It's not that people from New Zealand, they live very peacefully. They're very honest people. In the main city, how they sell newspapers, they have a store. And no one is there. Simply you take the newspaper, you put the money in. That's the system. Do you think you could do that in India? It seems not. I mean, if you put it in the station, all the people will come and use it for sleeping on. I mean, to put it there free, then your newspapers would go very quickly. In New Zealand, the people are so honest. Even when I was in Denmark in the 1979, you walk in the bank, there's no bulletproof glass, or just desks, open desks. You can walk in, and the people are sitting there, they pull the money out. There's no screen, nothing. I don't know if it's still like that, but it was in just 20 years ago. So people are very nice. In Denmark also, people are very nice. And what's the main business in Denmark? Killing pigs. So you think they're not going to get their karma because they're very nice. And you see that they believe in being kind to everybody and very, very nice people. You see, you shouldn't deny anybody anything. Social welfare system, you don't have to do any work and still the government gives you money because they borrowed so much money. Anyway. So people are thinking we will live peacefully if we have equal rights for everybody and we'll be very nice, but they don't know. Your karma is going to get you sooner or later. Even if you don't kill pigs, even if you're very pious, even if you're a vegetarian. Some people say to us, oh, I'm a vegetarian from birth. Even in New Zealand, actually, I was distributing books. One young girl in the shop said, I'm a vegetarian from birth. In the West there are also, maybe more than in India now, but you never know. So does that mean that you're a vegetarian, you're not going to get death, old age, disease? It's going to get you. You don't find in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is giving a discourse on vegetarianism. My dear Arjuna, let's discuss vegetarianism. Teetotaler. My dear Arjuna, you should become a teetotaler. Don't drink alcohol. Then you'll be very good. No. He says, sarvadhamam parityaja. Give up all this nonsense. Nonsense means vegetarianism is also one kind of nonsense. Teetotaler is, what do you call that? Abstention. Not drinking. That's also one kind of nonsense. Now, meat eating, that's worse nonsense than vegetarianism, no doubt. It's impious nonsense. But vegetarianism, that's pious nonsense. That's all. Even if you're a great student of the Vedas, I can recite all the Vedas. That's also rejected. That's also nonsense. If you can recite all the Vedas, but you don't surrender to Krishna, it's all, everything is nonsense except surrender to Krishna. So definitely vegetarian nonsense is better than non-vegetarian nonsense. But unless you offer your food to Krishna, that's also, what does Krishna say? Stena eva saha. If you eat food which is not offered to Krishna, then you're a thief. You're a rascal. Vegetarian rascal. Not as bad as a non-vegetarian rascal, maybe. So Krishna is telling the truth in Bhagavad Gita. This is the position. People are thinking we'll live very peacefully, no wars. Not possible. It's very surprising actually. It's now how many years? 47, 90, it's more than 50 years since there was a big world war. Of course, there are plenty of little wars. Instead of having big world wars, there are lots of little wars all over the world. It's surprising, there hasn't been any such. Otherwise, our parents, our grandparents, they all lived through world wars. Although, actually, do you know, at the end of World War I, there was a big epidemic of influenza all over the world, which in 2 years killed more people than were killed in World War I. So people are afraid of wars. What about flu? You're going to die of, you think that, oh, we're dying of flu. That's not as bad as war. But one way or another, your karma is going to get you. Chanakya, he says that the sinful reactions of a person, he gives the example, just like a cow, a calf, if there are 10,000 cows, nowadays we don't think, but previously you've seen Riga Maharaj used to give so many, Krishna, thousands of cows. Now if someone has 20 cows, we think they have many cows. But they used to have thousands, so many. So he said that a calf, they can find their mother among 10 very peaceful, he died, very nice. But you don't know what happened after he died. It may not be very peaceful. A very, very calm death, very peaceful. And that, yes, very nicely he died. In the meantime, he's being whipped in the Yavaloka. And they think he died very peacefully. Now his body is screaming. So your sinful reactions will get everything in this material world is sinful except surrender to Krishna. So you may die in war, you may die by slipping on a banana skin, you may die very peacefully in your sleep. But unless we surrender to Krishna, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, again and again you have to be born and die. This is the fact. People don't know. They're having conferences. How to stop what? How to stop this? How to stop AIDS? They're having big conferences, research. It's simple how to stop AIDS. Just don't be a rascal, that's all. Don't have illicit sex and don't inject yourself with heroin and all these things. You won't get AIDS. But that they don't. They don't consider that. Now people should go on with, you know, this man loves this man and they should love each other and get married in the church. And they love each other, so yeah, and actually, you know, I should make love, right? So, how to stop them getting AIDS? That they don't consider, they don't think, this is very sinful. Homosexuals, very sinful, they don't think. No, it's nice, it's good, you see? You don't have to use contraceptives, no problem, you don't get any children. You see, it's better, because if you have heterosexual connection, then you have to have an abortion. It costs 150 rupees. So better you don't. Better you see, you just do man to man. It's good. They're rascals. They don't know. They're not guided by Shastra. Therefore, they have to suffer so many sinful reactions. And they think we're very peaceful, we're very nice. They don't know what is the actual situation. They are pashugna. They are killing themselves by not being Krishna conscious. Someone in this human form of life, if they don't take to Krishna consciousness, they're simply killing themselves, cutting their own throat. And how will they appreciate Damodar Lila? So we're going among the people and giving Bhagavad Gita. Take this book, read this. Take this Science of Self-Realization, read this. Discover who you are. You're not the body, you're not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. You have to change your life. People are saying, why are you so heavy and strong? And it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't be strong enough. If someone's killing themselves, they don't know. Jani Ashunya. Narottam Das is saying, Jani Ashunya. I know when I'm drinking poison. They don't know. Or even if they know, they're so foolish. Even if they know this is sinful, still they're so foolish, they're going on with sense gratification. So preaching should be very strong, very loud. Wake up! Don't be in Maya. Don't be a fool. You're killing yourself. You're saying, alright, it's nice, I'll kill myself. Then no more problem. But no. You kill the body, you have to take birth again. You have to suffer more and more. So take to Krishna consciousness. Alright, now finish. Hare Krishna. Any question?
Go to Yamaraj. Yamaraj is punishes for the sinful activities. But at the same time, we forget when we take the next birth. When we forget everything, then how we can get the chance for it?
Then you have to hear. This punishment by Yamaraj, that is to. That goes on. It's not that we're also being punished by Yamaraj now. So, an intelligent person, he will think, what is this suffering? And then, if he comes in contact with a devotee, then the positive fruit of so much suffering will come. Suffering is purification in two ways. That you become free from the sinful reaction by punishment. And also it's purifying in the sense that it can awaken your intelligence also. So especially in the association of devotees, if you consider this is very miserable, why do I have to suffer birth, death, old age, disease, and simply struggling and suffering. So then you will, when you hear from Shastra, then everything comes in focus. Everything is there.